Today is Saturday, the 26th of November 2022, and we are all gathered here for the session 58, session on mindfulness for beginners. And I would like to welcome, with much respect, Venerable Bhante Homagama Dhamma Kusala Thero to today's session, representing Nisaranwane Forest Monastery, to dedicate his time and effort on mindfulness for beginners in this program. And I would also like to welcome all the participants joining the session through Zoom and also through the Facebook live stream. And our agenda will run as follows. We will first start with in-session mindfulness practice, and then we will move on to the question and answer session, where written and verbal questions and reports will be presented to Bhante, following up with Bhante's own insightful responses for those, and then we will proceed on to the talk on mindfulness and wrap up the session. In between, there will be a slight presentation for beginners as a refresher or as an introduction. So with that, I would like to hand over the program to Bhante to commence with the in-session mindfulness practice for today. Over to Bhante. Much merits.
Hello, everybody. We will take some time to practice mindful sitting today. For this, you have to make sure that you are seated comfortably. Adjust your seat. Make sure that your posture is balanced. Once you have that comfort, you can close your eyes and be aware. Be aware that you are sitting. Notice what are the things that appear in your field of awareness. Maybe you hear the surrounding sounds. And you can feel bodily sensations as well. You are seated. You have your eyes closed. And you feel various bodily sensations. Notice what you feel. Maybe you feel the pressure on your back. The pressure on your legs. Some of you might feel natural breath happening in this body. Breath goes in, comes out after a while. Maybe it is prominent at your nostrils. For some of you, it is prominent as a movement of your stomach or chest. Breath goes in, comes out. Again, it goes in, comes out. Time to time, thoughts may appear. Various incidents, future planning. Allow them to come and go naturally while you are aware. Thoughts come and go while you are seated in this present moment. Sometimes you may feel sleepy. Sometimes pain may appear in your body. you can allow them to come and go while you are seated in this present moment. Again and again, various things may appear, but you let them go, you allow them to come and go while knowing that you are seated in this present moment. So as a group, let's try to practice a few more minutes of mindful sitting. Now you may open your eyes. So this is about 10 minutes of mindful sitting. This is just to give you an idea so you can practice on your own. So the idea is that every day if you can take some time and try to practice mindful sitting like this, make it a habit of your daily life, then you can really see the advantages of this practice. When you practice only, you will see the difference it makes. Okay, now Mantra, you can take over.
Thank you very much, Bhante, for that insightful session. Now, our next agenda item would be the question and answer session. And I would like to invite Sonali to commence with the question and answer session for today. Thank you, Sonali. Over to you.
Avasarai Bhante. Thank you, Namantha. We have three reports we have received today. I'll start with the first one. Walking meditation. Walked 30 steps on tiled floor. The feedback last time was to increase the time of meditation, which was done. Walked for 1.5 hours. Watched feet lifting, moving, placing initially, and noted uneven nature of the tiles, warm-up under the feet, difference in weight on each foot, sharp object under one foot at times, pain in hip, ankle, and shoulder. Adjusted position of arms a few times, but did so mindfully when standing before turning. Observed the transient nature of all the above, and then watched the start and end of each move, lift and placing of each foot, and then the gaps between them. It was more difficult to see the gap between the placing and the next lifting, but mind more aware of the gaps between the moving and placing. Some of the movement of the feet were noted to be preceded by the thought to lift, move or place each foot. The walking appeared to happen automatically towards the end of the session and gait unsteady at times. Rotated shoulder as there was some tension noted and a cold sensation passed through the body and arms. This happened 3 times. Thoughts appeared but not distracting and was able to catch some thoughts appearing once, then lifting, and another time when moving the feet. When the mind came back to the feet, once it was noted to concede with lifting and another with moving. Verbalizing continued and an effort was made to note the movements without it, but found this hard except towards the end of the session. Sitting meditation. During the session of guided meditation, on an online retreat, could not hear the guidance clearly. After a short time, noted anger, irritation, impatience arising in the mind. Then heard the word to be kind to yourself and was amused at the type of thoughts that had arisen and realized a lot more kindness was needed. Decided to ignore the sound and meditate as usual and noted all the anger, irritation, and impatience dissolve as soon as the mind let go of the listening. Was able to meditate without a problem after that. Much gratitude for advice from Bhante and to all the organizers. End of report, Bhante.
Okay, so when you walk for like more than 1 hour, you can really see how the process is changing. When you start, you do it with lot of intention. You try to control your walking, you try to count the steps, you try to place your feet in a certain way. All these intentions are there, right? But when you walk for some time, especially if you walk past 1 hour, you can see that walking become automatic. It is happening automatically, more like a programmed manner, and you are just the observer. So this is within a single walking session, but you can see how the process is changing. beginning to the middle to the end, how the process is changing, how the intention is reducing, and the walking process become more and more natural, more and more automatically it is happening. So this is the progress of the meditation. Now you can see this even within a single walking session, you can see, right? So when you do with lot of intention, that's not the real meditation. The meditation is that the naturalness in your activities, the naturalness in walking, the naturalness in sitting, and the naturalness in your day-to-day activities. That is the real meditation. So when the walking happens automatically and you are just the observer, when the sitting or the breathing happens automatically and you are just the observer, when you do your day-to-day activities automatically and you are just the observer, then that is the best type of meditation, right? So when you start, you do a lot of intention is there, a lot of doing is there. But even within a single walking session, you can see how the doing is reducing, how the process is becoming more and more automatic, right? And when you practice for a few months, you can really see this change. When you start your meditation, you are doing a lot, right? But when you develop in your meditation, when you have more and more experience, when you know the proper way of practice, then you realize that it is happening. You are just the observer. The walking process is happening. You are just the observer. You are just sitting for the sake of sitting. Everything is happening. You are just the observer. So that's the real meditation. It takes time for you to understand this, the proper way of meditation. Yeah, it takes time for you to understand. Repetitive practice is the way. Repetitive practice is the way. When you practice more and more, you realize even when you start your walking session, it becomes like automatically you are walking. That's with experience it comes. With repetitive practice it comes. So what you have to do is that see how the walking process is becoming more and more automatic towards the end of the session. See how the sitting session is becoming more and more automatic towards the end of the session. That is the real meditation. There shouldn't be a doer if you are meditating properly. But as a beginner, as the initial part, there is a doer. We try to do a lot, right? But with time, you realize that doer is vanishing. That doer is disappearing. And this is a process that is happening. It's a natural process that is going on. Right? There's no doer. Instead, this is the nature that's going on and you are just the observer. That very observation is the real meditation. So you are getting there. You can really see how you are progressing even within a single session, how you are progressing. When you meditate for a few months, you can see how you are progressing. That is what matters, right? You are doing it again and again till it becomes natural to you. Naturalness in walking, naturalness in sitting, and naturalness in your day-to-day activities. That is the real meditation. Now, even towards the latter part of your report, you are mentioning about the sitting session. So initially, you try to do a lot, right? That's the source of that anger, irritation, impatience, all these things, that's the source of it, right? When you let go, when you allow these things to happen, suddenly you feel release, right? So that's the real meditation. That's the real meditation. Some people, they sit for 1 hour, but they try to do a lot. So instead of meditating, they are practicing something else. Probably, as you mentioned, they are practicing anger. They are practicing irritation. They are practicing their jealousy. They are practicing impatience. So those are the things that they are practicing. But as soon as you allow it to happen, as soon as you let it go, the natural process take control. That very natural process is the real meditation. You just have to be with it. You are just the observer. This process is happening. you have no control over it. You just observe what is happening. The walking is happening and you are just the observer. The sitting is happening, you are just the observer. The day-to-day activities are happening, you are just the observer. That's the real meditation, that's the real practice that we are talking about. So we can see you are progressing, continue your practice, and you can realize what we are talking about.
Thank you, Bhante. I will move on to the next report. Mindful walking. Walked outside on pavement. It was quick-paced at the beginning. Attention was on the movement of the feet for about 20 paces. When the thoughts arose, mind recognized this and awareness returned to the movement of feet. Walking had slowed down in anticipation of climbing the steep hill on the way. Noted how the body was leaning forward and as if body weight had increased while going uphill. Increase of the weight was felt as extra pressure on the knees. Awareness returned to the feet again. There was now a stamping motion of the feet instead of noticing placement of heel. Midfoot and forefoot. Once beyond the hilly area, the walking changed to a more regular pace. Thoughts came up and passed away. Sounds of vehicles and sights on the way were also here, also there. But the mind soon returned to the movement of walking. Walked for 35 minutes. Mindful sitting. Sat on the cushion and adjusted the body to a balanced position. When the breath appeared, it was felt more prominently as rise and fall of stomach. Body felt at ease, calm. Various thoughts would come and go, but the attention naturally returned to the breath again. It was felt now as the sensations around nostrils and as rise and fall of stomach. Muscles in the right shoulder relaxed. Body was still, but mind was noticing passing thoughts or bodily sensations. In between noticing the breath, after a while, the breath felt subtle. Movement of fine streams of air was noted just before the start of a new in-breath. After an hour, there were no discomforts in the body, although the mind was ready to wrap up the session. Sat for 1 hour. Mindfulness during the day. Continued with usual chores around the house, office work and other duties this week and noted the disinterest in contacting others for chats, meetups or entertainment. The overall mood was one of contemplation. When worldly issues came up few times, the mind slowed down to clarify what the problem was, what could be done about it, what options were available, and which option to try out first. This meant that the agitation usually associated with problems was low. Clearer understanding of the situation was more prominent. In one particular situation, however, the emotions had taken over and the reactions ran out of control. Verbal confrontation was heated, inflexible, and unforgiving. While one part of the mind recognized this unhealthy behavior clearly and wanted to stop the situation getting worse, the other part of the mind couldn't slow down and stop or move away from the situation. As the situation had changed by that evening, it showed the damage that emotional floods can do when the presence of mind is replaced by high emotions. Dear Bhante, look forward to your valuable feedback and merit to the organizers. End of report.
Okay, so when I hear your walking experience, it came to my mind a few days ago. I asked from somebody, now you can close your eyes and you can sit for 1 hour, but are you meditating? So that person, he answered, you can't really say. This person can close their eyes and sit, but still, we don't know whether that person is meditating. So he answered that if I know what I'm doing, if I'm aware, if I'm present about the activity that I'm doing, then that is my meditation. So this was the answer given, right? Now, even in your walking session, you can see when you're going uphill, how the pressure is changing, that very observation. So maybe even your day-to-day lives, you are traveling like this. You are climbing stairs. You are going to a workplace. Inside your office also, you are walking for a few kilometers even, right? So if you are aware about the walking process while walking, then you are meditating. That's the real meditation. Otherwise, you think that you are meditating. You close your eyes, you just sit, but you are not really meditating. That very meditation is being aware of the activity that you are doing. That is the type of meditation that we are recommending. So you can see in your walking session, you realize the difference. When you walk uphill, this is the difference that you can notice in your body, right? You can have the same observation even in your day-to-day lives, when you are climbing stairs, when you walk to your office, when you walk inside your office. All these things, if you are aware, then you are meditating. You have a few meals per day. If you are aware that you are eating, then you are meditating. That was our last week's activity. We tried to be aware while eating something, right? You drink a few times a day, right? So if you are aware that you are drinking, that is the meditation that we are talking about. You do your other activities. You take a bath. You wash your clothes, various things you are doing. If you are aware, you are meditating. So this is the very meditation that we are recommending, that we are talking about. You can sit, you can close your eyes, but are you meditating? It's a good question to ask from everybody, right? So in your walking report, you can see how you can extend this practice into your day-to-day lives. Then while walking, while sitting, while doing day-to-day activities, you can meditate. You can again and again remind yourself to meditate. Approach each and every activity as a meditation. As a meditation. That doesn't mean you'll be 100% accurate. That doesn't mean you will have control over each and every situation. Sometimes you lose. Sometimes you make mistakes. That's also allowed in the practice. You are allowed to make mistakes. You are allowed to be emotional. Those things happen. But as you mentioned in your report, now certain part of your mind is emotional and the other part of mind is aware, right? But this emotional part take control of the situation and you get carried away. That's fine. You again and again let it happen. Don't try to forcefully control. Don't try to forcefully stop it. That's not good for your health. Instead, allow it to happen. Allow it to happen while observing. Now you have that observation. That other part is there. It is observing. Right? Don't try to control. Let it happen and see the observation. See the emotional damage these incidents are making. See the difficulty that's created out of the emotional floods that's happening. So that very observation you are doing from the beginning to the very end, you are doing. Maybe it'll take a few days for you to recover from this emotional flood. That's fine. Again and again, you allow it to happen while observing. So you are allowed to make mistakes. That is the very practice. You are human. You make mistakes. Sometimes you become emotional. We all have that quality. So it's okay. Let it happen. While seeing that there is a certain part of your mind that's the observer. No matter what happens, it is still observing. It is observing being emotional. It is observing, shouting at people. It is observing the damage that it had created. It is observing how long it is taking for you to recover from this emotional flood. So all things are observed. That is the very practice. We are not going to control. Sometimes you get this false idea. When you meditate, you should control yourself. You shouldn't make mistakes. You shouldn't be emotional. You should be like a zombie or something, right? That's not the way. We are human. We allow that those humane qualities to be there. We allow them to be there while observing what is happening. That very observation is there in your report, right? You know that you are emotional. You know that you get carried away. You know that it is creating emotional damage. You know that this will take few days to probably recover. But still, that observation is there, right? So this is the real practice. This is the very meditation that we are talking about. Otherwise, if you try to control, if you try to be perfect, this won't happen. This won't happen. You won't grow in meditation, right? So this is the very growing part. We make mistakes. We become emotional. We get this emotional damage, and we see how this process is happening again and again. When you do this for 1001 times, probably when you allow this to happen for 1001 times, then one day you realize, I am not emotional anymore. Well, I am not making mistakes anymore. After so long, you realize, right? Probably after a few months, few years, suddenly it hits you that I am not making that mistake anymore. I am not emotional anymore. Now that observer is more powerful. That emotional part is also there in your mind, but that observer is more powerful. Now the observer is not moving, unwavering, but it is still there. That emotional part is still there. But you are not moved, right? So that realization will come maybe after years and years of practice. If you try to control, if you try to refrain, then this won't happen. This part won't happen. This growth won't be there. So you are allowed to make mistakes. You are allowed to be human. You are allowed to be emotional. And be the observer. Try to allow it to happen. And see what is happening. Observe what is happening. Observe how there is an emotional part in your mind, how there is an observing part in your mind, how the emotional part is getting moved by these situations, how the observer is unmoved by these situations. And see the damage that's created by these emotional incidents. See the flood it has created. See the time it takes for you to recover from these situations. So that's the very meditation that we are talking about. So we are happy you are on that path. Continue and you will realize for yourself.
Thank you, Bhante. That was very insightful for all of us. I will move on to the last report. Walking practice. Walked outdoors, noted change in pressure between left and right foot as each step was taken. Felt weight on the shoe on upper part of the foot during lifting pace of each step. Noted placing of each foot on the ground and the pressure of shoe on sole of foot. On some steps, noted a sharp sensation against the toe of right foot. Later found a small pebble in the right shoe. Managed to maintain attention on feet for about 40 steps and then noticed myself thinking about the future. Noted planning what I needed to do later in that day. These thoughts continued for a few minutes or minute or two before thought about being mindful arose and returned my attention to the feet. Practice continued in this way for 15 minutes. Mindful eating. Sat on chair eating breakfast, noted touch and weight of spoon in hand. Sound was heard as spoon was moving in the bowl. Noted change in sensation in hand and arm as a spoon was lifted to the mouth. As food was placed in the mouth, noted cold sensation followed by wetness of food. Started to chew and noted hardness of some parts of the food against teeth and sensation of tongue touching the roof of the mouth and teeth. As chewing continued, noted how hardness between teeth and changed to softness and then to stickiness. Also noted state of sweetness and the non-sweetness as food moved over tongue. Continued to chew, paying attention to the sensation on tongue, teeth and gum. Eventually felt uncomfortable to continue chewing and swallowed. Noted sensation of pressure in the throat and coldness as food moved down to the stomach. Continued to eat in this manner, managing to complete eating 5 to 6 mouthfuls with strong attention on sensations. Then noted that thoughts were triggering and mind was attentive to this, but before returning to the sensation of chewing and swallowing. Continued to practice in this way until the bowl was empty. Noted sensation of stomach being full. End of report.
Okay, so we are happy to hear that you have practiced mindful eating as well. Now, if you can at least take few bites with awareness, with attention, that is a good progress that we are making. Because usually we are not attentive. So probably with the effort, with repetitive practice, we can take few bites with awareness, paying attention to the activity. So you have to do this again and again. Every meal, try to see, can you take few bites with awareness, with attention like this? Right? Maybe again and again, thoughts may come. Future planning may appear. Various activities that you have to do might pop into your head. But try to see, can I take few bites with awareness? Again and again, every meal you are having, try to take few bites. Live your life, it's okay. You have various other things to do, that's fine. But among these things, can I take few bites with awareness, with attention? Can I drink some water, a glass of water, with attention? Can I brush my teeth with attention? That very practice is important. Again and again, you are reminding yourself to be attentive, to be aware among these activities. Among living your life, you try to make meditation a part of your life, right? So that's the way of the practice. That's why we recommend repetitive practice. You have to do this again and again till it comes naturally to you. That's the very first discussion that we had today regarding your experiences, the report that was presented initially, that it comes naturally. When you do the repetitive practice, the walking becomes naturally. When you do sitting again and again, the sitting becomes naturally. When you do your day-to-day activities and try to meditate, those activities become naturally, and that's the real meditation. So again and again, we are doing this till it comes naturally. Till the activity comes naturally, till the awareness comes naturally. That's how we do. So in a way, meditation is naturalness in the activities that you do, in your daily, day-to-day functions. The naturalness, if you have that, then that's the meditation that we are talking about. And you can see sometimes thoughts appearing, various planning, various incidents, those things pop into your head, right? So as a beginner, you try to take control. You try to be aware that you are thinking. You try to be aware that you are planning. Then you return to your breath. Then you return to your steps, right? So that's how you approach this practice. You should know the art of returning back to the breath, how to return, how to be aware that you are thinking, how can you return to safe ground. We will say safe ground, right? When you return to your breath, you are in a safe ground, right? When you return to your steps, you are in a safe ground. That practice we are doing, right? Every time you get carried away, you become aware, you are returning naturally to the breath or the steps, right? Once you become familiar, once you are skillful in this, we recommend something else. We recommend you to be aware that you are thinking. We recommend you to be aware that you are planning. Instead of bringing your attention to the safe place, you just be aware. You don't have to do anything. Be aware that thinking is happening. Be aware that future planning is happening. Now you are not forcefully returning your attention to the breath. Now we are not forcefully returning your attention to the feet. Instead, you are aware, but you are allowing it to happen. Right? You are allowing it to happen. When you do that, when you have that confidence, then you realize naturally the attention returns to the breath. Naturally, the attention returns to the feet. Even the earlier report, that comment was there. Thinking process was there. Naturally, it came back to the breath. Naturally, it came back to the feet. So this is the progress in meditation. Now you are progressing. Earlier, you tried to control. Earlier, you tried to micromanage everything. Now, you are more skillful. Now, you are wise. Right? Now, you know the art of becoming aware and allowing this process to happen. Right? So that's how we progress. Next time when you see the thoughts appearing, be aware and see, is it naturally returning to the breath? Next time when you see future planning happening, be aware and see, is it naturally returned to the feet? That if it is naturally returning, then you are building confidence. Again and again, you can allow this natural process to happen. It will go away naturally. It will come back naturally. The process is happening without your interference. Right? So that's how you can progress. Now you know, in case of an emergency, you know how to bring your attention back to the breath. In case of an emergency, you know how to bring your attention to the feet. That skill you have. Now you can experiment. You know, don't bring your attention to the breath. Allow the thinking process to happen. Allow the planning process to happen. See whether it is naturally returning to the root, whether it is naturally returning to the breath, whether it is naturally returning to the feet. With time, you will develop this confidence. You will realize that if it goes away, it comes back naturally. Again and again, this process is happening. And you are just the observer. You don't try to micromanage everything. Instead, you are like a CCTV camera observing this entire process. Various things are happening. But the camera doesn't care. Good things are happening, bad things are happening, robberies are happening. The camera doesn't judge. It is just observing, again and again recording, without any biases, it is recording, right? Good things recorded in the same way, bad things recorded in the same way, people offering dana recorded in the same way, people doing robberies recorded in the same way. The camera doesn't judge. That very quality is we are developing. The world may not agree. The world may suggest good things, you have to praise it. When the bad things are happening, you have to interfere and you have to stop them from happening. That is the worldly view. But we call this the noble view. We are not moved by these incidents. We don't judge these incidents. How the CCTV camera is not judging, it is not taking any sides. Instead, again and again, it is recording. The observation is there. Again and again, without any biases, the observation is there. Right? So that's the very quality that we are talking about. So good report. Continue this and you will see the mind will naturally return to your breath. The mind will naturally return to your feet. That very confidence you need to develop.
Thank you, Bhante. That concludes our reports. Next is to ask any questions. I'm sure there are a lot of questions, so please raise your Zoom hand and I'll let you unmute yourself. I think that's Kihanta. Do you want to unmute and ask your question?
Thank you, Sonali. Bhante, I'm glad you just mentioned this aspect of moving naturally back to the breath. In fact, I had a question that arose because generally in my sitting meditation, when my mind is moving to, say, different mental phenomena, I have to catch that and come back. So if I don't catch my mind tends to run with whatever happens. So I thought the point is to try and catch and come back to the breath rather than it coming naturally. Because otherwise, like I said, I get distracted. So could you explain that a bit more? Because if I don't catch it, then, as I said, the mind runs away. And the other related question was also is that I find it a bit of a... find it almost two different things. One is to be aware of changing mental phenomena is one thing, and then trying to, you know, bring the mind back to, say, the breath are almost two different things. So I find that a bit of a conflict. If you can help resolve that. Thank you, Bhante.
Yes, as you mentioned, it's two things, right? The very first one is being aware. Being aware that your attention is somewhere else. Probably you were observing your breath, or maybe you were paying attention to the walking process. Suddenly you get carried away. And maybe after a few minutes only, you realize that your attention is in a thinking process. In between that time, you don't really have a choice. You don't have a choice. You got carried away and you are not aware. Only after a few seconds, few minutes, do you realize that I am in a different place. And now I am in a thinking process. That very realization is the important one. That is the very first step that you are talking about. You have to be aware that you are thinking. You have to be aware that you are probably future planning. You have to be aware that you are emotional, something like that. Right? With that awareness, you have a choice. The choice is that you can bring your attention back to the breath. That is the second step that you are talking about. That is the traditional step in meditation, usually. Right? You become aware. That is the very first step. Now you have a choice. Option one, you bring your attention back to the breath. That is the tradition. But when we do this type of a meditation, initially we recommend that. We recommend, okay, be aware, bring your attention back to the breath as the second step, right? But when you develop in this practice, there's, instead of bringing your attention to the breath, there's a second option. The second option is that being aware, but still you are not doing anything. You allow that process to happen, right? I'm talking about the second step. The first step, anyway, it has to happen. Without being aware, you don't have a choice, right? Then after yes. becoming aware, as the second step, you have two options. The very option, first option, the traditional option, is to bring your attention back to the breath. That is the usual recommendation as meditation. But when we become more and more familiar in this practice, we recommend some other option as well. Option two is the risk-taking one, right? The option two is more like risk-loving. you are aware, but you are not doing anything. You just allow that natural process to happen while being aware. Try to see what will happen, not just a single time. 101 times, you allow that natural process to happen and do your observation. And when you do it 101 times, you will realize somehow the attention is returning back to the breath. Again and again, it will sometimes go thinking, but it returns back. It will sometimes go planning, but it will return somehow. That very confidence will grow. Right? So as the second step, you have two options. One is bringing your attention to the breath. That is the traditional option. That is the recommended option for a beginner. You should be able to do it first. Then when you become one more familiar, we suggest you the second option, which is being aware, but still you are not doing anything. That observation is there. That awareness is there. So this is the quality of the mindfulness. This is the quality of wearing a glove. And you can touch those electric wires freely because you have a protective glove. Right? That very protection will come from being aware. If you don't have a glove, then don't go touching. That's not the way. Right? First you should have a glove. When you have a glove, then you don't have to worry. Buddha says if you don't have any wounds on your palm, you don't have to worry touching the poison. The skin is not damaged, so you can touch the poison. You wear a glove, you can touch the electric wires, no issue, right? You wear a glove, still you are not touching, then that's a different problem, right? So this is the confidence that will grow with practice. You have to do it, you have to allow it to happen again and again, and with time you will develop confidence.
Thank you very much, Bhante.
Thank you, Bhante, and thank you, Gihanta, for that question. Anyone else with questions, please raise your Zoom hand. I will let you unmute yourself. It does look like we have... Panchani, do you want to ask a question or... Oh, no. Okay, that was a mistake then. That's fine. There are no more hands raised. I'm unsure if that is a raised hand or not. No. Okay.
It's just a reaction.
That's just a reaction. Okay.
Now there's a hand.
Okay. I think she's just confused with the, expression. Right. You can unmute yourself and ask your question now.
Sorry, Sonali, and sorry, Bhante, that's my lack of digital experience. I just wanted to ask, if I may, please, can I ask a question on two points? One is, my husband is also a practicing yogi, and he asked me the question today, why I'm not watching my breath in sitting meditation anymore, because the breath has disappeared. There's nothing to watch anymore other than the friction between no thoughts and the thoughts. I didn't really know what answer to give him why I'm not watching the breath anymore. If you could please clarify, it'll help both of us. Bhante.
Yeah, that's something you have to experience. You can of course answer the questions, but that's not how it works, right? With experience, we realize if there's no breath, what to watch, right? Initially, we take breath as a tool to practice mindfulness. The problem is that you try to take permanent refuge there. That's the issue. It's a temporary safe house. that we are building as breath, right? Naturally, through the practice, you realize how the breath is disappearing and there is nothing to watch. That is the Dhamma talking. That is the practice recommending you to let go of the breath. Once you have that experience, there is no need to go after anything. Instead, you are not attached to anything. You are not grabbing anything. You just allow things to come and go according to their natural way. Right? And just the awareness, just the attention remains. If you hold on to something, even the breath, then you are caught. Caught in the same process. That's what happens to most of the people. They let go of the difficult ones. Then they get hold of the breath. And even they are not allowing that breath to go. Right? They let go all the other things, all the worldly things, but they hold on to breath. That's not the way. That is the very beginning of the practice. Initially, we give this as a tool. You use that tool. And you grow your practice. When you grow, you realize naturally the breath vanishes. That refuge is gone. And you don't need it anymore. Various things come and go. But you are not attached to any of these things. You are not grabbing them. You are not holding on to them. You allow them to come and go according to their nature. This is the very peace that we are talking about. Otherwise, if you hold on to something, then you are caught. That's the issue, right? It says now there was this interesting question asked from Buddha. It says there's a tsunami coming, right? We are in this island. How should we protect ourselves? That's the question that was asked. What is the refuge this person is asking? And the Buddha is saying, let go of everything. Don't hold on to anything. Then there is no risk. If you have something, then of course you are at risk. If you don't have anything, if you are not holding on to anything, the water will come from this side and will go from other side. Nothing to get carried away. Nothing to worry, right? That's the real refuge. If you hold on to breath, then same cycle will repeat. Same cycle will repeat. You are still caught. So we take breath as a tool. We take it as a temporary refuge, but you can see in your practice how it is disappearing, how it is vanishing. Only the awareness remains. So instead of saying that you are practicing breath meditation or mindfulness of breath, you just say, you just practice mindfulness. Then there's no object, certain object. Instead, you are aware. You are aware when the breath is there. You are aware when the thoughts are there. You are aware when the empty space is there. That very awareness prevails. Objects may change, but the awareness continues. So that's the real meditation. Otherwise, still you are caught. If you hold on to your breath, you are caught. Caught in the same process. Same process of birth and death. That's the same process, right? So you have to make sure that you grow, you understand the practice, you experience the practice. With experience, you can really see how you are progressing.
Thank you, Bhante. Can I ask my second question? Is there time?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, yesterday whilst I was coming home from work, Bhante, there were these three ladies, they were very drunk, and it's quite normal in England in trains on Friday night, and they were behaving in a really unruly manner. But at that point, all I wanted to watch was whether there is any change in my natural state of mind. Is this the right practice I'm doing, Bhante?
First of all, you should face these type of situations. right? Then only we can see whether our practice is real. Otherwise, you will be in a cage. You will be in a forest. You will be ever peaceful till you go to the town, till you go to the city, till you come face to face with the problem, right? That's not how it goes, right? So you have to face this type of situations. When you face only, you can see how you are reacting internally. That doesn't mean you are going looking after these things. No. Naturally, they will come to you. When they come, you are not avoiding. You just try and see how the internal reaction is. That's all you can do, right? We call it a silent servant. When you observe yourself, when you know, when you are aware about your thoughts and emotions, probably you are silent. But still, you are preaching. You are preaching silently, a silent sermon, because it's a silent message to everybody, right? Otherwise, if you get caught in the process, if you get caught in the thoughts, then you might be angry, you might be shouting, you might be reacting, various things are happening. Then the surrounding people will also see that you are not peaceful. You are not peaceful. Instead, if you are peaceful in your mind, there's no reaction. It's like somebody is coming and blaming to a tree. The tree is not moved. It is just listening, no reaction. That is a silent sermon that's given. The tree is preaching Dhamma. Silently it is preaching. So that type of a practice that we are recommending might not agree with the worldly view, right? Still, if you want to find peace in your mind, this is the very practice. So you are not avoiding. You just be there and see how the internal reaction is. Sometimes you get carried away. Sometimes you become emotional. Sometimes you make mistakes. That's also fine. Again and again, you do the observation, right? So with time, you realize the various things are happening. Some people are drunk. Some people do various other things. Some people come and praise us. Some people come and blame us. So various things are happening, but you are inside. Your mind is not moved. So these incidents we can't control. That's the world. That's the very world, right? Blame and praise, it's the world. Drunk people, that's the world. Various things, robberies, murder, that's the world. If you are moved, then you suffer. But if your mind is not moved, then you are peaceful. So that's the very practice. So when these situations come, there's observation, there's a practice that you can do. It's a part of our practice. So try to take the opportunity.
Thank you, Bhante, Therwan Saranai.
Thank you for all your questions. I can see a comment on the chat. I'll read it out. Bhante, in the case of tsunami example, if there is an option to run to high ground, shouldn't one take that option rather than waiting for the weather to come and carry you away?
Yeah, that's the worldly view, right? We think that we can somehow find a refuge. That's why you take insurance. That's why you do take healthcare. You do jobs. You take properties. All these things are running to high ground. But are you safe? That's the question I'm asking, right? Are you safe? That's the question to be asked. So you can try to find various ways. That's how the usual reaction is. But again and again, it is proved that this reaction, this option is not going to work. You can have so many insurance coverages. You can have a probably stable job. You can have a family. You can have friends. But still, you are not safe. You can see it in the outside world. so many things, but still they are not safe. So much money, but still they are not safe. When you see that, you give up the idea of running to a high ground. Instead, if you have something, if you hold on to something, then you are at risk. Even this body, if you hold on to it, if this body is yours, then you are at risk. If you have family members, then you suffer even more. If you have properties to take care of, then you suffer even more. If you have little ones, then you suffer even more, right? So you cry, you scream, you try to find a refuge. But there is no real refuge in this world unless you give up everything. That's the real refuge that we are talking about. See the world, see the news. You can see so many things, right? How much protection these people have. How many things that they have for their protection. Still at risk. Still getting harmed, still crying, still screaming. So that's the world. So you have these two choices. Try to see which one works.
Thank you, Bhante. I hope that statement or question was answered. There's another question from Hemamali. Would you like to unmute yourself and ask the question?
Avasarai, Bhante. To Panchanis question, that regarding Panchanis question, Bhante, I just want to ask, during meditation, when you realize that when you observe that there is no breath, but awareness is there, is it okay to watch the awareness? Because when you are watching, observing that sometimes the breath comes again. So I want to ask you, Bhante, is it okay to watch the awareness? That's my question, Bhante.
Let me answer it with a question. Can you watch the awareness?
Yes, Bhante, I know I am watching. I am aware. I can feel.
Right. So when the breath comes again, what will happen?
Then the subtle breath is there. Then I am watching the breath, the subtle breath. Aware of the subtle breath. Is it the way, Bhante? That's what I want to ask.
Yeah, the objects may change, but your awareness continues, right? So that's the real practice, that you have to have more experience. Now, when the breath is not there, the practice is, it's more like a turning point in your practice, right? If you keep searching for the breath, then it won't work. Various other objects come into your field of awareness, right? As long as there is an object, you can verify. That you can verify that you are observing, right? When there is no object, you really can't verify. Awareness could be there, but still you can't verify. As long as there is an object, then only you can verify your awareness. When there is no object, you can't verify, right? So that's the thing.
After time, when the subtle death comes, I'm observing and it disappears. I know that awareness is there. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine. Continue like this. You need more experiences. You need more number of hours into the practice. That's where those questions come from, right? Try to put more hours. Try to see what will happen again and again. Then with that experience, you can progress further.
Thank you, Bhante. Thank you.
Right? So as long as there's an object, you can verify that your awareness is there. When there's no object, you can't really verify your awareness. When there's an object for reflection, then only you will have this verification. Otherwise, you don't know, right? So that's why it says a flame, it doesn't have a shadow. It doesn't have a shadow. An object comes across, then only a shadow is created. When there's a flame, that doesn't create a shadow. Right? So this mind is similar. This mind is like a flame. This awareness is like a flame. When an object comes across, a shadow is created. When there's no object, you can't really verify. You can't really verify. In your practice also, you experience this. When the breath is there, you know that you are aware. When the sounds are there, you know that you are aware. When the thoughts are there, you know that you are aware. When the breath disappears, certain other things are there, you know that you are aware. But with time, with experience, suddenly you realize that you were sitting for 45 minutes, but you couldn't feel anything. What happens? That object of awareness is not there. When you are in that place, you can't even verify. You can't reflect back. You don't know. Only after waking up, only after those objects appear, you become aware that I was aware. I was sitting, but I couldn't verify. Right? So it's like a flame. When the flame is there, there's no shadow. An object comes across, a shadow is created. So this is the simile that's given to the mind, right? You think these, you identify these objects as the mind. That's not true. That's not true. It's just the shadow that's talking. Just the shadow that's created, right? So this is not the real source. The flame, that's the real source, right? These objects, they are just outside things that are coming across this flame, right? So little by little, with practice, we let go of these objects and we go to that flame type of a quality in our mind. That quality is never moved. That quality is never disturbed, right? So with practice, you can realize this. You can see how you are sitting, but you don't have any accounts. You don't have any records. 45 minutes you were sitting. You remember sitting, you remember waking up. In between, you don't know what happened. Right? So that type of a practice that we are doing, little by little, we are going to the real quality of this mind, the flame-like quality of this mind.
Thank you, Bhante. Thank you for all the questions. I will hand you over to Namantha. We have taken a lot of time today, but I will hand you over to Namantha now.
Thank you very much, Sonali, for a lengthy Q&A session. And thank you very much, Bhante, for answering all the questions with great insight and also tirelessly taking on all the questions. I think the questions are signaling the attention from our audience on mindfulness, so it is great. With that, I don't think we have time for a talk on mindfulness for today, and essentially whatever that's discussed within the questions will become the content of the talk for today's session. So that is fine. And I would try to do the justice for the program by sharing the beginner's introduction, just in case it will be useful for some person. I will share the screen. So you can see the first two links there on point one, showcasing the two videos. These are currently in the chat section. You can copy them off to your device. You can go through this, if you're a beginner, you can go through these two videos to become familiar on mindful walking and on mindful sitting sessions. Then you can allocate a time. If you're starting up, even 5 minutes is fine. What matters most is that you allocate that time, saying specifically that I will practice this during this time and commence the practice for each session. Even 5 minutes is better than 0 minutes. So then once you do practice, you can lengthen the time up to about 1 hour, which is what we recommend for a standard session, and continue 1 hour of mindful walking, 1 hour of mindful sitting. Then the third point is to write your experience on each session. You can describe the object of mindfulness practice, and you can describe the hindrances or obstacles, and also you can provide evidence of how your mindfulness survived the session, through the session at each of the times, how provide verification, saying this is how I verified to myself that I was being mindful. For example, you can describe you're being mindful about the sensation returning to your feet touching the floor, or your breath touching your nostrils. These are just examples. You can decide on any contact with the object as verification and mention that in the report. And also you can, while it is not mentioned about daily mindfulness practice, you can describe on that as well. The fourth point is the means by which you can send your reports. The Google form is one option. The other one is the email address, beginnersnv@gmail.com. The fifth is the session recordings being available for your review on that link. And this is again in the Zoom chat section. So with that, the brief intro into starting up on or commencing on mindfulness practice ends, and I will stop sharing the screen. So I would like to wrap up today's session as we are nearing the time allocation, and I would like to wholeheartedly thank and share merits with Bhante for representing Nisaramane Forest Monastery and joining today's session, and for Bhante's tireless effort and contribution for the session on behalf of all of us. Thank you and much merits, Bhante, and we hope these good actions result in Bhante's own practice improving as well. Then I would like to thank all the organizers who have worked tirelessly since the beginning, and also would like to mention that while I do the presentations like this, there are persons who are more aware of the program, who have worked harder on this program. I'm just a presenter presenting during the session. And I would also like to thank Sonali for conducting the Q&A session, and also the organizers again. And I would also like to thank and share merits with all the attendees who are attending through Zoom and Facebook live stream, and wish that all your mindfulness practices improve and contribute to well-being, mental and physical well-being for all of you. Now, I would like to wish all of you a mindful and happy week ahead, and hope that you are able to join next week and also continue joining in all the future sessions. With that, I would like to end. Thank you very much for the positive feedback on Zoom. I would like to end today's session and hope to continue on with the sessions next week onwards. Again, wishing you a mindful and happy week ahead. Until we see you next week, I will end the session now. Much merits.